attention. Turn tonight to Malachi chapter 3, please. And I want to read verse number 6. Malachi 3 and verse number 6. Fairly easy book to find, considering it's the last book of the Old Testament. Chapter 3, verse number 6. The Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The thought, I am the Lord, I change not." Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for this verse. Thank you, Lord, that it is not only true, but it's powerful, encouraging, comforting as well. We give you thanks for a changeless God and a changing society. We rejoice in the security that that means. Now, Lord, I pray tonight your blessings upon the service as your word is opened and preached. Bless us now and meet needs, and Lord, touch the lives of those upon our prayer list, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a companion passage of Scripture that's found in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. You don't have to turn there. But the Bible says, "The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal." Having this seal. The Bible makes it very clear that there are things that are changeless, and we know there's a God who's changeless. We live in a society of change. I touched on that some this morning, the fact of change, and not all of that change is good, of course. Some of it is bad. In fact, much of it is bad. But it's encouraging to know that God is changeless in spite of a society that is changing. You know, as Paul wrote that verse over there in 2 Timothy, he wrote it to a young preacher, and he wrote that verse under inspiration to remind Timothy that in spite of the things that were hindering the early church, in spite of the nuisances and the issues affecting the church at that time, and Timothy was beginning to sense the pressure and the pain of what was going on at that time, Paul wrote and said, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal." And so he would encourage Timothy by the fact that in spite of what he saw going on around, Timothy could understand and be encouraged by the fact that God was changeless and the foundation of God was changeless. Now, Paul wrote also to the book of church at Corinth, and he said, "For no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." There was a great hymn that was written that we sing today that has to do with the very truth of what we're seeing here in the Bible. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. She is her new creation by Spirit and Word. From heaven He brought and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. So the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ the Lord. That makes the church of Christ secure. That makes the work of God secure. That means that in spite of the threats that even face modern day Christianity, including the operation of the local church, we can rest assured tonight that that foundation, which rests upon Jesus Christ, will not be shaken. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away, the Lord said. "Thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So let's be encouraged tonight by the fact that the Lord who changes not also has a body of believers that God will give security to the end. That doesn't mean that local churches won't suffer problems and difficulties, and it doesn't mean that there there's going to be an absence of trials and testings, but the church of Christ will survive. Now, some local churches don't because they're not built on the proper foundation. Some of them are not true to the Bible. Some of them are not anchored into truth. But those who espouse the truth of the gospel, preach the gospel, and preach the word of God, I believe God's hand will be upon churches such as that, and He'll bless those churches. It's built upon a solid rock. A solid rock. And that's an encouragement, isn't it? Here's what I'm saying in a nutshell. The person of God is changeless. The perpetuation of the church is changeless. And the preservation of God's people is changeless. We can count on it being true. Now, there are some things, and again, I don't want to recap, spend a whole lot of time talking about what we went over this morning, but there are some things that change and we welcome. Other things that change and it's grievous. Modern day inventions, we'll take them, won't we? Some things we question, of course. It's like the GPSs. Isn't it nice now that that little cell phone, that cell phone has dual purposes. That cell phone, in fact, it's almost got to the place anymore that a cell phone, its minor function is communication. Its major function is all the other things. You can watch TV on cell phones. You can turn it into a GPS. You can listen to music on a cell phone. You can, they have excellent cameras. And, I mean, they really do have their advantage. The biggest disadvantage that I know of a cell phone is when they go off in church. And I don't know of a preacher anywhere that likes that. So, ladies and gentlemen, please mute them if you bring them in. You get it, right? But now, Garmin. Could I talk about Garmin a little bit? Recalculating. Sometimes I think after the car is on its way over the cliff, it's saying recalculating. And excuse me. So I guess what I'm trying to say tonight is some things that have changed perhaps haven't been thought through enough. Maybe they didn't change quite enough. There's many things that are sickening changes. There's not a person tonight in this church that likes to see where society is going. None of us are pleased, are we? It's a putrid thing. It's disheartening. It's discouraging. It's upsetting to see where culture is going. The permissiveness, the rise of the occult, and it's just one thing after the next. And then you hear on the news, and I have to admit I'm a news junkie a whole lot. I do try to stay up on, you know, what's going on. Maybe I watch too much news. Don't anybody amen that, please. But sometimes it is educational. Imagine now, you hear on the news, they're trying to remove, you know, God We Trust. That's current. That came out this week. School systems. Mottos. The motto of American God We Trust, seeking to remove it. And yet, every one of us in our pocket, we have coins that have that written on it, in God We Trust. So much hypocrisy. Things such as that is certainly disheartening. Some change is necessary, though. Change is usually resisted. Many times it's resisted. Mark Twain one time said, the only person who likes change is a wet baby. Many churches are changing by making adjustment to what the world wants instead of what the world needs. You see, churches tonight need not be changing to match, to suit the world, because the world is a ship that is sinking. And anyone on that ship is going down unless they get in the only ark of safety, and that's Jesus Christ. The wrong kind of changes confuses, though. It confuses people. Back in World War II, when Germany came into France and took over France, some of the resistance movement in France begin to go out in the countryside and even in the city and begin to make changes. They turned signs around. They removed signs. So when the German tanks come through, instead of knowing now where to go, the signs had been taken out, and many of them got confused, and many of them rolled their tanks right into the American army. So sometimes change gets confusing. But here's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to keep it practical. I'm going to keep it very simple. The Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. My comfort tonight and my greatest security is in the fact that my God does not change. I'm subject to change. My attitude might change. My opinion might change. Fads change. People change. Our security tonight is in the fact that God does not change. I am the Lord. I change not. We can take comfort in that. The person of God is changeless. He's changeless in His character. He always has been deity. He always will be. He's changeless in His purpose. He's changeless in His love. He's changeless in His grace. God does not change. I mean, have you ever, by the way, have you ever met someone that you thought you knew, and then you become a friend, you befriend them, and you're a good friend with them, maybe several years ago by. Then the next thing you know, either you've changed or that person has changed. But for whatever reason, there is now a break in your fellowship with that person. Something comes up. Either you get mad at them or they get mad at you. Someone says something that hurts the other one. And it just seems like that friendship never gets back on the same footing. Why? What happened? Well, there was a change somehow. Attitude, words not thought through before they were spoken. So the next thing you know, a friendship is impaired because of people who change. But aren't you thankful tonight to know that God does not have a temper tantrum? God does not change. His attitude remains the same. In fact, there's nothing that you and I can do to make God love us less. There's nothing we can do to cause Him to think different towards us or to give us the cold shoulder or to ever break fellowship. Now, on our end of it, our fellowship may be hurt. We may dampen that, get out of fellowship with God and so forth, but God hasn't budged. He's where He's always been. And so if there's any changes that need to be made, it's not going to be made from a God who's changeless. It's got to be made on our end of it to where we recognize we've sinned and we come before the Lord with a broken heart and we confess our sins. And then we claim the truth of what John wrote. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. So, thank the Lord, we have a God who is changeless. The person of God is changeless. Secondly, tonight, the precious name of Jesus Christ is changeless. The precious name of Jesus Christ. A man one time asked Whitfield if he and the Wesleys were going to form another denomination. And George Whitfield said this. He said, I don't know what the Wesleys might do, or I don't know what they're going to attempt, or I don't know what they're going to achieve, but as for me, let my name perish, and let the name of Jesus live forever. The precious name of Jesus will never change. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Ye seeds of Israel's chosen race, ye ransomed from the fall, hail Him who saves you by His grace, and crown Him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng and at His feet may fall, join in the everlasting song, and crown Him Lord of all. That name of Jesus Christ will never change. That name is a precious name. That name is a powerful name. That name is a name that represents all that redemption is all about. In fact, the Bible says that at His name one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's got a name that's above every other name. This name is talking about the one who's a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Things might be changing in this world, but God never changes. The person of Christ never changes. And then could I thirdly say this? The proclamation of God is changeless. I'm talking about His Word. The proclamation of God is changeless. Joshua 1:8. Let me give that verse to you. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He says, the book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth. You know, I think it's still good to memorize the Bible. I think it's still good to put Bible mottos up on the wall. I think it's good to teach kids the Bible. The Bible is what's going to stand. God's Word is what's going to stand. Books come and go. Books are popular, lose their popularity. Some authors, as a general rule, many of them will be forgotten with time. What's on the popular list today may not even be sold tomorrow. Books change. But I'll tell you, there's one book tonight that remains current. You see, that's the thing about books written by human beings. They lose their currency. They cease to be current. They cease to be able to address the issues of the time. I'm holding in my hand tonight a book that is current all the time. I'm holding a book that does not have to be changed. I'm holding a book that has just as valid a message for people living in 2018 as it did in 1918. The Bible, the Word of God, is changeless. There's been a lot of sermons preached on the Bible, and I preached a lot of them. Thank God for the inspiration of Scriptures. All Scriptures given by inspiration of God, it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good work. The Bible says, holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God's precious, powerful, and changeless Word. This book has changed lives. This book has converted sinners. This book has comforted saints. This book has given promise and comfort and encouragement to people. This book has been read at the bedside of dying saints. It's my privilege. This past week I was thinking of visiting, our brother who just went home to be with the Lord. Brother Gene, this past week when he's in hospice. And I can still remember standing there in hospice praying for Brother Gene. He may not have heard me, but God heard me. And one thing for sure, God's hand of peace was upon Brother Gene. But I'll tell you, when you read that old precious passage of Scripture, the book of Psalms, chapter 23, how many dying saints have been blessed by Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And the psalm goes on and on, comfort after comfort. What a soft pillow for the head of a dying saint. Gene walked through the valley. The valley didn't consume him, because God took him through it. And that's the thing about the Bible. It's comforting. It'll never be destroyed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. You know, the proclamation of God is changeless. There have been efforts on the part of critics of the Bible in the past to attempt to destroy the Scriptures. Back during the bloody Inquisition, the Catholic Church at that time literally was confiscating every copy of the Bible that they could back during the Dark Ages. They were building huge bonfires. They were attempting to destroy every copy of God's Word. There was an avowed atheist by the name of Voltaire one time blatantly put his fist in the face of God and said that the time would come when there wouldn't be a Bible existing upon this earth. In the very place that that man made that statement, later on become a Bible bookstore. I'm saying tonight, the Bible, God's Word, the proclamation of God, will never be destroyed. It'll never be destroyed. So the proclamation of God will never be destroyed. Here's the thing. People don't realize it, but God's Word never returns void. So shall my word be which goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Isaiah 55, verse number 11. Even in the preaching service, I believe as God's word is given, it does not return void. Now you say, well, preacher, what if people reject it? Well, look at it like this. Even the rejectors of the word of God, by hearing the Bible, are being held more accountable. They're being held more accountable, so God's word is still not returned void. It's still accomplished. It's holding sinners more accountable. And then as a saint, the scriptures as they're preached to build us up, to edify us, to encourage us, there's the Bible's not returning void at all, is it? It's accomplishing. Sometimes you come into a church service and you're thinking, wow, am I ever tired tonight? When's the preacher going to ever get through? I mean, it's been a terrible long day. And would somebody do something? It's just like, you know, the illustration of the old farmer went out to milk a cow. Y'all have heard this, haven't you? If you have heard it, act like you haven't. I'm going to tell it anyway. Farmer was so tired, so wore out. He is milking the cow, and he was, you know, milking it the old-fashioned way, not with the machines, milking the cow the old-fashioned way. And he was so tired, it was a labor, even as he milked that cow, and that old cow looked down, and the cow said, now don't be surprised when I tell you that the cow said, because commercials, have you been watching commercials lately? Animals talk as much as people. So why should that surprise anybody? That's just like somebody said when the mule spoke to old Naaman. That was amazing that mule, Jackass, that's what it was called, spoke to Naaman. That was a miracle. But the miracle was when Naaman answered. Anyway, that cow looks down at that old farmer and said, Mr. Farmer, I can tell you're awful tired, but let's strike a deal. You just hold on and I'll jump up and down. That still gets the job done, doesn't it? So people come into church. They're tired. They're wanting it to end. But it's amazing when the Bible is preached. Now, you'll remember some of my silly illustrations and jokes too. I know that. But you'll go out of here, and I'll tell you, the Spirit of God has a way, though, of taking a truth that was given, of a passage of Scripture that was given, and bringing that back to your memory sometime. And many people will say, I heard the preacher say. Well, it wasn't so much you heard the preacher say as you were hearing the Holy Spirit saying. Because he's calling to remembrance the Word. It does not return void. The proclamation of God is changeless. Then the power of God is changeless. That's my next point. Power of God is changeless. Now, I'll move to that in just a moment, but I want to back up just one tad and mention this. The purposes of God are changeless too. The purposes of God. Go back to the history of Israel. Moses was leading Israel through the wilderness. Moses died, did not go into the promised land, but Joshua was a duly elected leader. Well, Moses is dead. Moses was the man. Moses was the one that God gave the law to. And some of them people knew no one but Moses. Led them out of Egypt, led them through the promised land, and now Moses is dead. So what are we going to do? Well, God had a leader. God had raised up a Joshua. So what happened there is Moses was gone, but the promised land was still theirs to take. The purpose of God was changeless. They still went to the promised land. They still went there. Even though Moses was dead, the purposes of God are changeless. Don't put nearly as much attention on people as you do God's purpose, and you'll be better off. That's true of all of us, including me. People change. I mean, people die, people leave, people get off the scene. And God always sends others to replace, though. As long as the church is upon this earth, God's going to still send replacements. And I learned long ago, the sun doesn't rise or set on me either. God sees fit to replace me. I don't want to sound real pious tonight, but I'm convinced as I stand here, God has someone that can do the job just as well as me and probably a lot better. Now, since I said that, I know y'all want to take a vote right now, don't you? Since there's a promise of someone better, I know, let's just joking, of course. But let's be realistic. Let's be realistic. God's purpose is what's going to survive. Oh, we'll survive and go to heaven. But we're not here to stay on this earth, though. God's work will keep going. God's purposes will keep going. His work will go on even when we're off the scene. Never get so stuck on yourself. But what you don't realize, you're replaceable. But God's purpose and God's work is bigger than we are. Bigger than we are. We represent a cause bigger than ourselves. The security of our lives and the promise of our lives is not based upon us or our resources. It's based on the promises of God and the fact that God and His Word and His purposes is what's going to survive. Oh yes, I give unto them eternal life, they shall never. We'll live forever in heaven. But the world, the church, can get by without any one of us. Because the work is greater than the worker. God's work. Chew on that a while. Think about that. We'll get back in and talk about that later, okay? That is a point, though. That's the truth. The purpose of God is changeless. Israel said, our leader is dead. But God said, the work isn't dead. You still got Canaan to conquer. The power of God is changeless. His throne will survive. His throne. We've seen thrones shaken since we've lived. We've seen kingdoms rise and fall. Oh, not literally, not like years ago. You know, you had the Babylonian kingdom, you had the Roman kingdom, all that. But I'm talking about world governments. We've seen them go up and go down, haven't we? Major change has taken place in Europe in the last 30, 40 years. You have presidents that come along. They do a good job, and it seems like a country will do well, then the next guy might be a scoundrel. Who knows? You can't put but so much credence in human government. I've said this many times. America right now, we might be basking in the sunshine of blessings momentarily. Economy, stronger military. And we could talk a long time on that. And there might be people that are resting on our laurels and they say, man, America, we're where we should be and some think we're where we're going to stay. Don't be so sure of that. We're one vote away from it all changing. Because people soon forget. Human governments change. But I've got a good verse for us all. Psalm 45:6 says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Earthly kingdoms come to naught. But God's kingdom will one day be forever. When He rules, when He reigns upon this earth, that kingdom will be forever and ever and ever. Messiah's handle, or Handel's Messiah, I meant to say, will become a 1,000-year reality. 1,000-year reality. because that kingdom will not be shaken, because Christ is going to be the king. Then finally, tonight, the provisions of God are changeless. I've said the person of God, the provisions of God is changeless. The cross work of Christ cannot be destroyed. The provision of salvation will survive. What Christ did at Calvary will never be undone. It will never be diminished. It will never be ruled null and void. The cross work of Christ has eternal blessed ramifications. God's people will live forever and ever in heaven because of the cross work of Christ that totally, once and for all, took care of sin's debt. And Jesus arose victoriously. Every day of our lives is Easter Sunday, really. We celebrate the resurrection every day. I don't have to wait. That means I don't have to wait until next March or April, whenever Easter hits next year, to have pickled eggs. No, I don't mean that. That means I can enjoy the resurrection every day because, thank God, we're standing tonight on resurrection ground. He arose, we arose in Him. So in closing, I am the Lord, I change not. I like that verse, don't you? I am the Lord, I change not. Let's pray.